We also have, hello? Well, okay, all right, cool. We also have a birthday. His initials are Brian Ansel.
So, today.
Today, this is the day. So why don't you come on up here, we'll give you a big spanking. I'm kidding. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brian. Birthday to you. Yay! All right. That's right. Give him an Oreo. That's right. All right. All right.
You probably spanked him a few times when
he was a kid. But we're friends now. So, you know, we're buddies now that we're older. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I got a testimony. Today I was a wreck. I was feeling horrible and I was, you know, contemplating whether to come tonight, and I was like, you know what? You got to do things by faith. Amen. And as I was getting ready and for here, it was like all of a sudden when I got up and I made the decision, I'm going to go because I know in faith. Because it was always, sometimes when I've had things where I don't feel well, but the act of faith, I begin to mend. And so my feet hit the ground, I got out of bed and I was walking and getting clothes on, and I was thinking, thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, symptoms started falling off of me. Amen?
Amen.
And here I am. Feeling great. Amen. And it's just one of those things where you just got to do things by faith and say, you know what, I'm going to do this. And you know what, God honors that. So, hallelujah. So just a testimony how good God is and just wonderful He is. And you know, we were practicing, and I don't know, one of the songs we were singing, and just you know, while we were practicing, really got to me, because God is good. Amen. And He is so wonderful, even when we miss the mark or we don't. You know, He's going to help you even though you don't know why something's going on. He's still going to help you, right?
Yes.
And when you need help, so He's there to rescue us. And that's one thing I was kind of up in the air about the insofar as it's interesting, but some of the Chosen series. You know, when I first saw the first one, I'm like, oh, I don't really get this, because it's kind of, it just seems like things are kind of out of order and kind of weird. And I'm always like, okay, the Bible, this is, you know, this and this has got to happen, and this is kind of happening. And I was like, all of a sudden you're taking this and 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 over here. And but the interesting thing is, I think it's just so awesome. It shows how Jesus is here to rescue us.
Amen.
That is powerful. And he's, you know, and through that series, it's really cool to see how, not just we look at the miracles, but really when you put it in context, he's really here to rescue people, right? I mean, how many times did the Lord rescue people from financial ruin in the New Testament? You know, Peter and his brother, James, and then you see all these other Peter and Andrew, excuse me, and you know, also there at the wedding where Thomas was there. It's just, again, God is there always showing up and doing things to rescue us. We want the rescue, you know, right this second, but God shows up at the right time. Not our timing, but He shows up at the right time to rescue us and to deliver us. Amen. Why? Because He needs us to trust Him. He needs us to rest in Him and rely on Him, right? It's not if God's going to do it, but it's the fact that will we rely on Him? and that's the challenging thing of faith. And, you know, last week, I'm definitely not going to get through it all tonight, and that's okay. But we're talking about righteousness. Righteousness is very important because it's a revelation of where you stand with God. I'll say that again. It's very important that we understand righteousness, because righteousness gives us a revelation of where we stand with God. What happened in the Garden of Eden? I'm just telling you what, guys. In the first few chapters of Genesis is so much revelation that echoes for eternity and also echoes for the rest of the Bible. Adam and Eve lost their standing with God at that point, right? Now, God never walked away. He never did those things. Adam and Eve left because of, let's look at that. Let's start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Genesis 3:10. And this is right after Adam and Eve sinned. They fell. They ate the fruit. And they said God shows up. The Father shows up. The Lord shows up in the cool of the day there. And he says, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. And I just want to say this before we go any further. Number one, fear separates us from God. Faith draws us closer to Him. Adam and Eve had the question, does God love me? Does He still accept me? Does He still want me? I don't know. I'm ashamed. All of these questions were coming out. And interesting thing here is, you know, God is so wonderful. You look throughout the Bible, and Jesus is just a straight shooter, right? I mean, he's just going to tell you the way things are going to happen. The devil, and it seems like politicians sometimes, they don't give you the whole truth, do they? Right? People that are deceptive only show you the good, the positive, or what they want you to see. When the serpent came in the Garden of Eden, the serpent didn't say, oh yeah, you're going to take that, you know, he said, what was the phrase? He said that you'll be in, like, your eyes will be enlightened. Well, their eyes were already enlightened too in the good stuff. But he never said, oh yeah, by the way, when you eat that, I forgot to tell you that you're going to have death come upon you now. Right? And by the way, you're going to have sickness and disease. You're going to, now you've just instigated, opened up warfare into this world. Now, you're going to have heartache and destruction. I forgot to tell you that. He didn't say that, did he? But you know, when Jesus said, walk the earth, what does he say when he was here on the earth? He's like, you know what? They're going to hate you for my sake. He said the good, but also he emphasized the bad. Because why? Because Jesus is honest and said, this is what you're getting yourself into, right? You may have kind of peace right now because you're behind the scenes, but if you're a follower of me, people are going to hate you, and they're not going to like you. And the enemy will always come in and say, everything's cream puff, wonderful, unicorns, rainbows, and you're just going to love it, and it's just going to be fabulous, right? Drug dealers don't come along and say, well, here's some dope for you. You might overdose, right? Here, read the label I put on the back. It says all of the health. No, they don't say that, do they, right? Drug dealers don't do that. No. They emphasize the good. Oh man, say hello to my little friend here, right? And they don't tell you about the bad stuff. Why? Because evil people, they're not honest with you, and they're not straight with you. God and those people, but God was told Adam and Eve that day. He said, hey, if you eat from this fruit, and guess what's going to happen? You're not going to like it. God said, you can have all the trees, all the fruit, but just don't touch this one, right? Even those little kids, you tell them not to do something, and what are they? That's the one they want, right? Okay, honey, you can have all the... Well, think about it when you got kids. They got 9,000 toys, but one of their siblings has one toy, and all of them want that one toy, right? I don't know, it's just kind of our nature or what, but it goes back from Adam and Eve. We want the forbidden fruit. Right? We got all kinds of other wonderful things to deal with. Have Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And this is talking about Abraham here. Again, you can turn there. This is what the Lord declared over Abram at the time. Was Abraham born again? No. Did Jesus come yet? No. Now, there's several things in here, but one of the good things is, He said, and he says, and he believed in the Lord, talking about Abraham, and it says, and he counted to him for what? Righteousness. Righteousness is what we call right standing. Now, can I say something really quick? Those Old Testament patriots in the Old Testament, those people who followed God, they were, first of all, they were not born again. They were not saved. They had limited revelation. But I like to think it this way. God pulled out his credit card, gave them something. The payment was going to be taken care of 2,000 years later. And God counted, it says it right here, that he counted to the, what does that mean? He put it on his account, right? Because it's everything that he accounted for right here, it all goes back to Jesus. That pinnacle point when he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, took the blood to the mercy seat, again, in heaven. Once that was paid, then all the Old Testament folks, right, that were believers that weren't born again, they came out of paradise into, because why? Because they're believers. And they're waiting for that event for Christ to happen. Guess what? We see here too that not only all the people at the point when Christ died, but also, guess what? Everybody after them, which is us, has that benefit and has that blessing. So we can be righteous. Now here we got today too many people that are, we're born again, we have all these blessings, we have the word and everything, we're walking around, well, I'm just not good enough. Well, I know Abraham wasn't arrogant in thinking he was good enough, but guess what? When God told him something, he actually believed it. Right? When he had his son there on the altar, and before the ram came along, what he had his knife there, and the Bible says, we don't have time to turn there, but you can look it up yourself. And in Genesis, he was ready to sacrifice him. And he said, if I do this, he'll be able to raise him up. Now, how many people, after like 1,200 seminars, reading the Bible 9,000 times, would have that kind of faith? Now, again, I don't believe God's going to tell you to get, but I'm just saying, if you were in that position, how many people would be in that position where they would have faith in God to do it? And then at the last moment, the angel says, nope, stop, don't do it. Why? You know why it's so amazing where Abraham's faith, and he was counted to him righteousness, why God has a statement here in Genesis chapter 15 that he counted him righteous, was because as God said there in the word that your seed will be like the stars in the sky. Right? And what did Abraham knew? He knew that, okay, if I sacrifice my son, I'm going to have offspring. God told me I'm going to have nations. He later changed my name to Abraham, which means father of many nations, right? Because when I do this, then he's going to bring my son back to life and there will be seed lived through him. The cool thing about Abraham, he was banking on the things that God told him in the past, that he would be faithful now. So again, fear separates us from God. We see fear will separate us from God. It will separate Adam and Eve. When God showed up, they hid. They were afraid. Fear will drive you away from God. Faith pulls you towards him. Abraham is our father of faith. And so when we see the things that he did, you know, I mean, think about it. God said, okay, you need to go to Ur. That doesn't make any sense, right? He said, go, do these things. Go to this promised land I've given you. Well, I mean, you know, Abraham was pretty well off before God showed up, right? I mean, he had his family was there, everything was great, and then God increased him even more. Well, you know, when your nephew Lot makes bad choices, okay, kind of lives in wrong places and decides to do things, and you got over 300 servants that you arm and go after them, you're doing okay, right? So again, God blessed Abram and later Abraham. And you know what? He just decided, I'm going to follow this God. And you know, a lot of scholars, you know, Abraham was actually a moon worshiper. I mean, Abraham was a complete pagan. He was a complete heathen back then. There was Some believe that he worshiped the moon and was into other stuff. So again, God pulls, isn't that great how God will pull some person out? Why? Because he sees the heart. I mean, you and I would look at some people, well, even like King David. I mean, he's this little guy and not this big, tall king like King Saul was. The Bible says he was a head taller than everybody else. King Saul looked like a king, right? He was impressive. He was big. And then you got David over here who is, why? God's like, I know his heart and I want him. And that's the same with Abram. Abraham dared to believe God and followed God. And what? Because of Abraham's faith, he drew closer to God. Wherever God was leading, Abram's faith drove him towards God. See, faith will drive us to obey him. Faith in God will drive us closer to him. Faith in God will drive us to draw near to him. Fear will separate us. Condemnation. That's why Romans 8:1 is so important. Therefore, those who are in Christ Jesus are not, right? We're not condemned if we're in Christ Jesus. And we draw close to him. So, I'm way off, but that's okay. Yeah, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's read that. I'm going to read that in King James. And I've said this before, but when Adrian and I were in Damata at Rhema, we would read this scripture all the time. We would read the Ephesians prayers. Remember that, Adrian?
Yeah.
We had to read the Ephesian prayers before class every time. Let me tell you something. When you begin to meditate on the Ephesians prayers, I mean, you begin to see things, in the Word, and God will begin to reveal things to you. Brother Hagin would sit there and just read the Ephesians prayers over himself, over and over and over and over and over again. And I would just say, working at the ministry there, like I've said this before, he's got like a, probably from here to there, a row of filing cabinets, and you open it up, and he just has just a folder on a study of hair. He has just studied the subject of hair, color, length, this, that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, everything. He's done so much study on things. But part of it is, too, he's prayed the Ephesians prayers, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may have the hope of his gospel. What's that mean? That God, what it means is when I'm in the Word and when I'm with you, God, you're revealing things to me, that my eyes are open, that my mind and my attitude is ready to receive from you. And so, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and it says there, I'm going to read this King James, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, if you're following after God, there is no condemnation, right? If you're following, what's that mean? Your past mistakes aren't held against you anymore. Condemnation, what it does, it never gives you a way out. It beats you up. I said this before, but when I was a kid, growing up in the church that I was in, denominational church, there were some things we knew, okay? We knew how to get saved, and we knew all about the revelation, right? End times, Daniel and his statue, right? We knew all the, I was a kid, I knew all the, first, or the pre, mid, and post-tribulations, and the four horsemen, and all the seven seals are going to be opened up, or all the seals are going to be opened up. And well, we knew all that stuff. But I didn't know squat about healing, right? Or baptizing the Holy Spirit. Nobody taught on that stuff. But we'd have people come in and they'd have the big walls. And this stuff is good. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm just saying they would have the big scroll up here, and they would have these teachers and they'd, have all the book of Revelation all outlined out. And now there is a definite purpose to this because we need to understand we're closer than we think. Right? Tomorrow, we're even closer than we were before, right? So every day that we get closer, we're closer to that imminent time when Christ is going to come, right? So what it does a couple things in people. It gives us either joy and hope, or it should convict Christians of like, oh, I better get my act together, right? I need to start changing some things. And those are good. And I think we got to have balance on things. You know what I'm saying? Because there are some people in our camp that are just like, they don't teach about those things. In fact, I probably should. I need to spend some time teaching more on that. But we see people that they're either on the ditch one side or the other. So they're all completely just end times. I remember one of my professors in Bible college was talking about this lady who was dying of cancer in her bed. And he goes, I was going to pray with her, you know, wanted to share scriptures with her. And what did she have? She had her end times maps and all her scrolls out. And she's like, hey, pastor, look at this. You know, I got this, you know, I found this out and all this revelation. He's like, why don't we spend time on healing? Let's meditate on some healing scriptures. Because like, it's kind of important right now. This is kind of important right now. I mean, you know, but she was just so hung up on that. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. But again, it's probably not what we need to focus on at that time, you know. So anyway, all of these things are very good. And we got to keep things in balance. And again, when we look at end times, it is something because it is something that we can see, hey, Jesus is closer now more than ever. We see prophecies. And what do these prophecies do? What does end times do? It builds our faith in the Bible because it shows that these things are actually coming to pass and we see these things happening, right? So it is a testimony that God knows what he's doing. What he spoke about thousands of years ago is now coming to pass now. So, you know, those are wonderful things. But to understand righteousness is something else too. Why? Because it's very important. Because I think most Christians, they think they're annoying God when they go to him. Right? And or other people. Let me just say this. As a parent, when you look at your kids, is a lot different than you as a sibling looking at your siblings. Right? So when we look at each other, often in the body of Christ, I mean, the Bible does talk about brothers and sisters, right? We're brothers and sisters of the Lord. Let me just say this. When God looks at us and sees us as kids, it's a different perspective than when we see each other. And also, it's a different perspective for us looking at him. Right? I mean, I can imagine, I just know what it's like for me seeing my parents when I was younger, that concept now. As a parent looking at your children, it's a different perspective, isn't it? Way different perspective, right? And if you have siblings, what it's like, you know. So again, as you get older, your perspective changes. But you can sit back and say, okay, you know. And then when you have grandparents, you can just pump them and send them out, right? You can just pump them and just send them out the door, right? Pump them full of sugar and send them up. I'm kidding. So when you're done, time to go home. Right? Have fun with them and away we go. So again, and you know what? I think the great thing is the joy, there's joy in every aspect. You know, I remember when I was a kid, there was just a lot of joy there. And then when you get adulthood and parenthood, you go through all these different changes. There's joy through the whole thing. But I think what it does, it helps give you perspective on, okay, how did I view things at that age? How am I viewing things now? And how do they view me understanding where they're at? And so, set out to say this, when we go to God, guess what? He's looking at us from his parental perspective, and he wants to help us, right? He wants to help us. And the devil, and I think our flesh, when we go to God, and I think our faith hinders because we're not viewing him from that perspective, right? We're viewing him as some distant God out there that's probably annoyed by me asking, like, Lord, I need to pay my, you know, my rent this month, or I need to make a car payment, help me. And we're thinking about like, okay, you know, I've got my Christian tin can here begging for nickels. And that's not the way God perceives us at all. And so this is really important for Romans chapter 8, verse 1, because it says, there is therefore no condemnation those who walk in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, and it's all perspective now. When we're looking at ourselves through the lens of what we call sin consciousness, what it means is we're aware of our mistakes. Oh, and believe me, the devil will help remind you of that. And he does. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. But what does God say? This is part of righteousness now. righteousness says, I am now joint heirs with what? Christ. Now, of course, we didn't go to the cross. We didn't save the world. We didn't do all these things. But because of the way that God loves us so much, He positions us, even though we don't deserve it, positions us on the same level as Christ is. Because the Bible says we're seated with Him in the heavenly places, right? So really, when God looks over and sees Jesus, He sees us. Because He sees us through the lens of righteousness. John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, 27. While you're turning there, I'm going to read Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation not be without covetous, but hear, and be content with all such things that you have. For He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Part of the righteousness revelation is this, that He's with us all the time. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter where we're at, He's always there. I always laughed years ago, this minister, he said, you want to see a move of God? Everybody's like, yeah. And he went, there's your move of God, right? Because He's in us. He's following us all the time. He's with us. He's in and upon us. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. John 10, 27 says this through verse 30. It says, my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, this is all, again, a review from last week. But guess what? He knows you. I mean, people say, well, I just don't know if God hears me. Well, guess what? He hears our voice, right? But I love this. It says, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. So no one can kidnap them from me. I and the Father are one. Now, interestingly enough here, nobody can snatch us away from God if we love Him. If we're born again, right? When I was a kid, I mean, the whole time, especially that part when you did communion, and then it said, you know, if any of you drink unworthily and bring damnation unto yourself and everything, and I'm freaking out like, oh, I don't want to go to hell because I chewed the bread wrong or did something, right? As a kid, you're kind of scared, right? And sometimes, and you know, we read that too here, but sometimes we think that, you know, any little thing is going to knock us off from heaven. You know, if we're following God and we love God and we're running after Him and we're running away from the world system and we, you know, forsake sin and just press on to Him and we're born again, it says right here that no one is going to snatch us away from Him. Isn't that great? That's part of the revelation of righteousness. The devil can't snatch you. People can't take you away from God. He can't take you away. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? And then it says here also, for my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can take your salvation. No one can take your righteousness away from. Nobody can take your standing away from God. Only thing is, if you walk away from God, that's another thing. God is always here. You know, like in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve screwed up, and God still showed up to fellowship. Who walked away? God did not. He was still there. And I want to know too, I don't know. Again, I don't know the scenario. I don't know, again, but if Adam and Eve would have said, yeah, we missed the mark, please forgive us, can we come back and pick up where we left off? Right? Now, it's sin had been committed, and of course, but what would there have, how would that have, because they didn't. I said, well, we hid ourselves, we're afraid, we're naked, and then all of a sudden what happened? They do finger pointing, right? Well, it was that woman you gave me. It was her deal. And then what did Eve say? Well, it was that snake. She's the one he's the one that beguiled me. He's the one that, you know. Then they start doing the finger pointing thing, right? Kind of like at home, you know, kids, you know, who broke this one? I didn't do it. Oh. See, the dogs can't get up that high, but somehow you start doing the math, and you're like, the physics thing. See, these two don't have thumbs, And John 15:15, and we'll kind of close here in a minute. And it says, John 15:15, New Translation, New Living Translation, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You know, God is always wanting, and this is our position of righteousness when we're born again, when we're saved, is he's wanting to share things with us. And we are no longer servants. Somebody have it. Adrian, what do you have with that in? Is that amplified, John 15:15?
I do not call you servants, slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing or working out. But I've called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I've revealed to you everything that I've learned from him.
Yep. That's so good. That's so good. And you know, that is... I will say this, that is one of the culmination of an ultimate relationship is when you're friends. Right? Where you get to the point where you're friends. You have those people too, where I've had people too that I've worked with in the past, lived in Oskaloosa, and I had a couple co-workers. I got one of them baptized in the Holy Spirit. But he and I we worked together, but we were friends. I mean, we were very good friends, you know, and other people too. We would, you know, do things. He came to our church sometimes, and we would really have these in-depth conversations about God and the Bible, and, you know, we were able to, why? Because we were able to fellowship. We were exchanged. There was a dialogue, a conversation there that went just beyond, you know, hey, can you hand me that wrench? Hey, can you, we need, you know, tear this machine apart. We need to find out what's going on. We need to do this. No, it went beyond that. And that's where friends, can I say this too on our end, too many Christians, they're not into, God is wanting to have friendship, and he said, I'm going to be your friend. But we have turn God into a lottery machine, or we've turned him into a vending machine where we just go to God when we want to. And then we can't see why things aren't functioning quite well. Like, we read the Bible and it's like, I don't feel like this is right. Like, Christianity isn't supposed to be like this. Right, because it's supposed to be a friendship. It's supposed to be an exchange. That's the ultimate of a relationship. And I'll close with this. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know of. Right? And really a lot, where my relationship with the Lord over the years is just, I'm not really sometimes interested. I mean, I do, but the Lord reveals things to me because of a relationship. And I, when I was younger, I wanted answers now. I wanted answers right now. I needed this. But when as I grow and develop, I put things on the shelf. I'm like, hey, Lord, I see this in the Word. I don't really understand this completely. I understand it, but there's a lot more understanding and depth I don't understand at this point. Now he reveals it to me as often in some things as his will, or when he's ready to reveal, or let's just say this, when I'm ready to receive it. Which is very different than years ago when I went to him and there would be an exchange. And again, it's righteousness. What does it mean? It means that, and I've said this before, I have more faith in his ability to get a hold of me than for my little puny brain to get a hold of him, right? Because I'm really stupid compared to him. And that's an understatement, right? That's really, but what does it mean? He knows everything. He has culmination of everything, absolute revelation on everything. And I know that he's going to reveal it to me the right way, at the right time, when I'm going to need it. Now, again, there's a dialogue where I do speak with him and we have a conversation. But then, too, it's whenever I get frustrated, then he starts pulling back, right? Because friends don't do that. Friends are, I need this now. We're not in an emergency. Most of the time, we're not in an emergency situation, are we? Where we have to have something right now. But there are times where, you know, God will, you know, there's just certain things. I remember Brother Hagin talking about, a couple stories here, but I remember Brother Hagin talking about a guy that came to Rhema. Now, can you believe this? They invited him to come to Rhema to be one of the speakers. He's a minister. And he said all of his books and everything were nothing but just bashing Kenneth Hagin. I mean, that's all. He just hated Kenneth Hagin and hated Rhema. And somehow, I don't know, they didn't like each other. They came there and he said, that guy preached and taught something. He says he answered something that I had a question for years on. But see, God will use people often and resources and things that we may not agree with, the way that we don't, right? He used pastors and preachers that I didn't like or I didn't agree with and different things in the past. But again, there's other times where God is going to be faithful. He's going to... I'm the dean of our college, when he used to pastor over here in Mount Pleasant, and they were on a gravel road at night going to a Christmas party at one of their, it was out in the country. No street lights, of course, gravel road, and there was a big black Angus bull standing sideways in front of the, in the road. And he just said, Jesus, and he says, that thing supernaturally turned sideways off the side of the road. It says, we would have T-boned it, but he goes, no pun intended. But but the point is that God will answer us. He's there. I mean, he's got instant answers. That's not it. But there's just sometime in our relationship with him, we understand too that it's like, God, I don't have this right now, but I'm trusting you. And he's always faithful. It's just, you know, I wanted a driver's license at 10. But it was better that I wait till I was 16, right? And God's kind of like that too. Like, you know what? Yeah, we may not need these big boy pants or big girl pants right now, but you're going to have it soon. And I'm still going to be faithful because I love you. And I am a friend and I know what's best for you, even though sometimes you want it different. Amen? Father, we just thank you so much for these precious people, Lord, and your precious, Lord. We love you. I thank you so much for your friendship with us. And your love, that we can reach into your depths of love and your knowledge and understanding, Lord. And no matter what it is, we can still rest in you and know that you're leading us and guiding us, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you. And I just pray tonight over everyone too, just there's no fear. There's complete peace and rest in you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, that your ministry is so precious and so wonderful. And we love you and thank you just for your comfort, peace, joy, liberation in your spirit, Lord. And I just pray a tidal wave of the blood of Jesus and your love would just surround everyone here. And we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, have a great week, everybody. And hopefully it gets warmer. No snow. We don't like that. Help us, Jesus. Help us.